Good morning, Vanderhoof Baptist. It is May 17th, 2020. Once again, this is Pastor Rick Eaton, and I'm coming from my office at home. This morning, my sermon's title is Look Where You Are Going. Look Where You Are Going. Have you ever noticed when you're riding a bicycle, and to some extent when you're driving a car, if you look over your shoulder towards the left, you tend to steer towards the left. The opposite's also true. If you go to the right, you'll drift. If you look to the right, you'll drift to the right. And choosing to spend too much time looking directly behind you can create problems as well. Which way should you be looking when driving? Forward. If you allow your head and eyes to drift too far to either side, or spend too much time looking to the rear, it is often detrimental to your advancing to where you're going. I think I can speak for all of us in saying we each want a bright future. We want what is ahead of us. We want what is ahead of us to be as good as what was behind at minimum, and even better if possible. This morning we're going to be looking into the letter to the Philippians in the New Testament, chapter 3. If you want to go ahead and turn with me, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to be starting in verse 12. So Philippians is a letter written by the Apostle Paul, one of the early followers of Jesus Christ, who wrote much of what we read in the New Testament. And he wrote this letter to the city of Philippi, the capital of the province of Macedonia. Philippi is thought to be the first place in Europe that the gospel was taken to after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We do know that it was taken there by Paul in the first century. And this ancient city of Philippi is today a part of modern-day Greece. I think it's interesting to note when you read the letter to the city of Philippi, when you read Philippians, I think it's interesting to note, to keep in mind, that Paul was writing this letter though he had been imprisoned unjustly. He'd been put in prison for the distinct reason of sharing the truth about Jesus. So though he had been in prison unjustly, he's still attempting to reach out and encourage others in their faith. His words still encourage us today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only, let us hold true to what we have attained. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to reach out. Touch all that are listening to this message. Draw them unto you. Help them to quiet their minds, to set aside all of the distractions that are going on in our lives, and to strain and to listen as you speak to their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Paul tells us that Jesus Christ has made him to be his. Christ Jesus has made me his own. Paul recognized the sacrifice that Jesus had put forth in offering up his life. And he realized that Jesus had done that for him. And he wanted to live up to what he was now called to do. He wanted to stay focused. We too need to focus to honor the one who died on our behalf. Jesus died to make us his. We should live to make him ours. So in order to do that, Paul is telling us this morning that we need to look where we're going. Or as Paul says, strain forward to what lies ahead. He says, I haven't already obtained perfection. I have not yet obtained perfection. I'm but a young man, just 54 years old. But I've been around a while. I've driven to the same chemical plant for over 30 years now. For 30 years, come to the same plant, doing similar work for the last 14 years. But I recognize I still have much to learn. Now, I know some of what I need to learn is an attempt to keep up with the changes in technology, but even if technology had not advanced since I began, I still have more to learn. The person who has reached a self-proposed perfection is in trouble. This is true in any pursuit, and it is especially true in our walk of faith. Paul says in his letter to the church in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Therefore let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall." If anyone ever gets to that point in their life when they feel like they've reached the pinnacle, Paul is saying, look out, you're not really there. There is still more to come. Don't ever get this idea that you have fully matured in anything. There's always more to learn. Paul was a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ. If you know the New Testament, you know he sacrificed much in his desire in honoring God with his life. And there's no doubt that he could have been able to say that he'd matured in his faith and that he was much further along in his walk with Christ in comparison to maybe others that he was speaking to. But he wants them to know, he wants us to know, he had not yet reached perfection. When he took stock of his life, even though he'd been in prison for his faith, he looks around and he sees more of his life that needs given over to the Lord. Take a moment and examine your faith. Not comparing it to others. Don't think about what your neighbor's doing, your spouse is doing, your family, your co-workers. Just think about your own life. Take a moment and examine your faith. Do you recognize, just like Paul, that there is more to be done, there is more to be learned, that you have not yet reached perfection? One thing that he suggests that is necessary to reach it is to let go of what is behind, or to forget what lies behind. Now, I know you might think this is only thinking of letting go of what we regret, but I suggest this morning it's also important to let go of what we're proud of. To forget what lies behind includes the good and the bad. Again, in drive, remember, looking to the right or left or too much time looking behind us is detrimental to us getting to our destination. For our past wrongs, our own sins, yes, take them to God and seek forgiveness. But then move on. God finds no joy in leaving you languishing in your past sins. Take them to Him and seek forgiveness. He's waiting for you to ask Him. Have you asked him? This is also true for past wrongs. When you're remembering what others have done to you, let go of it. Don't let their poor actions to continue for years in controlling your life. How many precious years are wasted on irritations of the past? You are not helping yourself to keep the grudge. Give it over to God. Let Him deal with that individual who hurt you. You need to move forward. One last category that I think might be missed in forgetting the past is past wins. The Olympian who gloats of her last gold medal does herself no good in the process of reaching for the next. Shining the trophy does not bring closer the next challenge. There is a time and a place for celebrating, but at some point, it is detrimental in forward movement. Stop shining the past medals of your life and move on. They too need to be put in the past where they belong. I've seen individuals in churches who are so focused on how it used to be that they spend much of their time walking around in a depressed state. Each church service, it seems, they're looking at the empty seats and pondering what went wrong. This does no good. We need to let go of the wins if we want to obtain our best future. Maybe you have past successes that makes today's life seem pale in comparison. You need to put them in the past. If you had a personal relationship that was wonderful in the past, but at some point turned sour, dwelling on it will not improve your ability to have a wonderful relationship in the future. Let the past stay in the past. You have a future to live. Until you can embrace where you are, understand you're severely limiting your ability to move forward in life. Put the past in the past. Quit staring in the rearview mirror. It is detrimental to your forward movement. Forget what lies beyond. Press on. Paul says that he is pressing on or straining forward. Can you picture someone straining forward? Perhaps you can remember a time when you attempted to reach something that's just beyond your fingertips, but you try anyway. You put all your emphasis on stretching out your arm, stretching out your fingers, almost willing the item to move in your direction. Maybe it's something behind the couch or on a top shelf. I'm guilty of sometimes avoiding getting a ladder when I knew I should. I think, well, maybe I can reach that light bulb if I just get onto my tippy toes. Paul wants us to put this emphasis in our mind. He wants us to strain towards living a mature, God-pleasing life. Stretch in that direction, allowing some of those unimportant details to fall by the wayside as you reach forth to what is ahead, the prize of a life that is joy-filled. Jesus asks of us to live a life that is a stretch. He's called us to live differently than those around us, those who cling to the world and all it has to offer, its fleeting promises that are empty. But Jesus has not left us alone. He will take the road with you. Call upon Him, for He cares for you. He is cheering you on to success in your walk of faith. But as you attempt to stretch your faith to reach places you have not yet been, Don't let go of what you've already obtained. Paul says, hold on to what you've obtained, or let us hold true to what we have obtained. I believe he's talking about the fundamentals of our faith. Don't forget those. The fundamentals of our faith are those things that are clearly understood, but not always practiced. We often think of following God as doing great things, things that are mighty, huge. Lots of people see them and recognize them. Many are affected by them. God is pleased with the little things, or the things that we might consider small. I think many of those things are the ones that will truly be rewarded for. Little things like sharing caring words, spending a few moments of our lives thinking of others more than ourselves, letting others have the bigger piece of pie, the better seat on the bus, the first place in line, maybe keeping our mouth shut when they say something that we feel is dumb, not belittling them because they think differently than we do. Jesus wants us to have integrity in all that we do, choosing to not lie, cheat, or steal from others. Of course, there are many things that we do that are not always seen by others. In these fundamentals, Paul is telling us to do the right thing in the little things of life. Jesus says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. You see, Jesus is saying those who have failed in big ways started their failure in missing out on the basic fundamentals of their faith. Look where you are going. Where are you going? If it's towards a more fulfilling and joyful life, I believe with all my heart this morning that this is found in having faith in Jesus Christ and listening and acting on the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 10 and 11, Jesus says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus wants us to find joy in this life. He's not trying to take away joy. He's trying to give us joy. And that's not just in the life that we will receive when we pass away. He's talking about finding joy in the here and the now. Can you recognize in Paul's writing of this letter that Paul had found that joy? In that same letter, the Philippians, he speaks of having this ability to find joy in the midst of hard times. In the good and the bad, in the hard times as well as the good times, we can find joy as we stay focused on living a life honorable to God. What do you need to take your eyes off in order to straighten your actions in going forward? Is it perhaps a relationship that soured? A sin you took part in? A pain that someone else brought upon you or your family? Or perhaps it's a past win that is causing you to question the value of today. All of these lead us to taking our eyes off the future life God has planned for us. Paul's trying to help us with that this morning. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul recognized the joy that can be found in living a life of success in the eyes of God. Are you living that life to its fullest? Let's pray. Father, if there be some that are hearing this message that knows there are things in their life that need to be put in the past and left in the past, help them to recognize their need to do that and give them the strength to make that decision. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word you've given us here this morning that we look to for guidance. Help each of us to put it into practice in a way that leads us to joy and draws us into a place that brings more honor and glory to you. For it's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. God bless.